Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
Hello, Bev. Are you able to stay cool and dry these very warm, hot summer days?
Well, I tell you what, every time I think, oh, it's so hot, I'll think, in a few months, I'm going to be saying, oh, it's so cold. So it works out.
Yeah. Well, you talk about the hot dog days of summer. I think we're experiencing those right now.
Yes.
Now, you've been spending some time outside, though, doing some stuff in your yard and things like that. It's pretty warm out there, isn't it?
It is. And, oh, my gosh, I've got so many plants outside, and I worry about them, and I'm out there with everything but a fan for them. So, giving them a drink of water and cleaning them up in the mornings and hurry up and get back in.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today. I know that Bev and I are very much looking forward to interviewing. I tell you, Bev, we haven't been able to spend a lot of time with this individual, but I know in talking with you and just before we began the recording, she is just such a very delightful person to visit with. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy today's interview.
Yes, and it is, like you said, meet the people of MCB. If we didn't do these interviews, I don't know if I would know them as well as we do. So I really appreciate meet the people. And
oh,
I'm sure there's
too.
A lot of listeners out there that do too.
You bet. You bet. Well, without any further delay, we're going to bring on our guests for this week's Meet the People of MCB. Welcome, Mary Hawk. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing great as well. Well, Mary, thank you so much for graciously consenting to being our guest here this week on Meet the People of MCB. What we like to do, first of all, Mary, as we said before we begin the recording, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about your vision loss. What was the cause or the result of your vision loss?
I was born with retinitis pigmentosa, and I have the rare kind, so I lost my vision at age 32, which retinitis pigmentosa, most of the time, it goes from, you know, little by little, you use it, and maybe by the time you're 60, something like that, you've lost pretty much all but like light perception. But I'm the special one.
So do you consider yourself a high partial, low partial, low vision? What would you classify your vision?
I am totally blind.
Okay, all right.
I don't even have maybe a little bit every once in a while light perception, but not really anymore.
Okay, all right. Okay, very good. So then also tell us, Mary, a little bit about your family, your immediate family. Are you married? Do you have children, brothers, sisters?
Okay, I have, I'll just start at the beginning. I was born to parents, Paul and Anna Mae Edge, in a little city called Whitesville, Kentucky. It's about 20 miles from Orangeville, Kentucky. And I was raised up there, went to school, graduated from high school there. And I'd had enough of school because it's hard for even a visually impaired person to go to a public school, even though it was a Catholic school. Back then, there was like 74 of us in my class. So, yeah, but anyway, I moved to Louisville, Kentucky. My brother was living up there. And after I graduated in 1967, I moved there probably sometime in 1968. And I just stayed there with my brother. And I also, he was in the Kentucky Business Program. And he talked me into going into it also. So I was trained for probably about 10 weeks. I had to go to different locations. Boy, lots of differences. But I was there for probably, I don't know, till 1980. Well, I guess I ought to wait. I have three beautiful daughters. And they're all grown. They're all owed. Or I tell them they're owed anyway. Oh, goodness. And they have all three done very well for themselves. I have eight awesome grandkids. If I knew grandkids were so cool, I would have had them first. They're wonderful.
Yes.
My oldest grandson is 32 and my youngest is 8.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I still got one of them little ones that I just love so much.
Oh, you bet.
Yes. And I also have a great granddaughter named Jordan, and she is the love of my life. She is an angel.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's so sweet and so good. Yes. That's enough.
So, Mary, what was it that brought you to Missouri?
My husband, Bob, was from Steele, Missouri, and he started to work as a mechanic on the vending machines the same day that I did, started to work with my brother training. And my brother was showing me how to load those cans into the drink machine. And it was down the steps from his stand. So I was loading them. And, you know, back then we weren't allowed to wear pants much. So I had a dress on, sure. And my husband, he was standing there too, waiting for his boss to come. And I kept noticing him and he kept watching me. So finally I said, it scared me, so I said, Eugene, there's somebody down there watching me. Really? So he goes down them steps, and he said, can I help you, buddy? And that's how it all started. And just, you know, after a while, we got together, and we were married, July the 11th, 1970.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Mary, you kind of touched on it a little bit there. Share with us a little bit about your work history.
Okay. Like I said, I worked in the vending program for a few years. And Bob wanted to move to Missouri because his dad had passed away. And we thought we could help. So we moved to Missouri. And he had a motorcycle shop that he loved. So I just became his secretary because he told me if I left Kentucky, I would never have to work again. But anyway, after 4 years, we'd had enough of Steele, Missouri. So we moved to Poplar Bluff. And been here ever since.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you talk about your husband and you working there at a motorcycle shop. When I had my sight, and I really, one of the things that I really miss about having sight is I had a 500 Yamaha, and I love getting on that bike and just taking off and the wind in your face. And I just loved it.
Yeah.
And with Linda on the back of my bike, we just loved just to get on it and just go for a ride. There's nothing like getting on a motorcycle and just going for a long ride. It is awesome.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
You bet. I'm going to turn it over to Bev because I know she's burning up live with some questions for you.
Yes. And I got to remember all the things that you've already talked about, but I'd like to go back. So you had retinitis pigmentosa. Did anybody else in your family inherit that special gene?
Yes, I have three brothers that had retinitis pigmentosa. There was 11 of us kids, and usually one out of four end up with retinitis pigmentosa. My mom was blind. She had retinitis pigmentosa.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, they raised us to be independent, you know, and mom's, you know, like, just like washing the dishes, you know, she would, if I'd put them in the to get be dry, she'd check them, throw them back in the bin.
Yes.
Yep. Still goes, Mary Cecilia. So.
Yeah, she didn't coddle the,
no,
you know.
No,
so you do. You learn to grow up to be independent and taking care of yourself. So she did that with love.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And I have to say, my three daughters, even today, they use their hands to check their dishes because I learned them that too, or I taught them that too.
Uh-huh.
I got a chance to throw them dishes back in the sink.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and they will say, Mom can see.
Uh-huh. I think they said many times that I had eyes in the back of my head.
Yes.
Because they got by with very little.
Yep. Yeah. I did that with my daughter one time. And I said, and I know you're rolling your eyes at me. Yep. Oh, my goodness. And did you say you went to Louisville?
Yes. I went to Louisville where my brother was, and he trained me the first 2 weeks, and then I had to go to other blind folks to be trained. I went to 5 different vending stands, and yeah. So then after I got my whatever they want license or whatever, I would come. Anybody needed me, I would come and help them if they had to be off or anything like that. So finally, I received my own vending stand in the federal building in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Oops,
I forgot to tell you, we moved to Frankfort.
Oh, cool. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was nice, you know. And then after a couple, 3 years, I went to the state building. And I was an assistant manager there, which was great. I worked with a guy named Ed Womack. I don't know if that name is familiar to anybody, but he was a great boss and we worked well together. But in 1987, we moved to Missouri. Like I said before, my husband told me if I would move to Missouri, that I wouldn't have to work anymore. So, not true.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, when you were in Kentucky, did you get involved with any of the blind consumer organizations there in Kentucky?
Oh, yes. I got involved with the National Federation.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the last one we went to the convention there. I think it was in Louisville, and my three girls and my husband and I. And I just have to tell you a tale about these white canes. I've never seen so many white canes come up off the floor in my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that, but I was taught completely different when I moved to Missouri. Anyway, yep.
Well, Mary, Louisville was my first convention I went to for American Council of the Blind. And I discovered getting on the elevator with all those dogs. They were trained to put their nose up your skirt and lift it up.
Look out.
I'm telling you. I hear you.
Yes. But, And did you, when you were in Kansas City, did you work for RSB?
Yes, I worked for Rehab Services for the Blind for 12 years in Kansas City, and then a job opening came up in Sikeston, which Sikeston's only about 45 minutes from Poplar Bluff, so uh-huh. I transferred to Sikeston.
Perfect.
And then I retired there in 2015.
I bet you've got some great stories about working at RSB and all the people you got to meet and different experiences.
You know, with my college education, I always said I wanted to work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I worked with big kids.
I worked with
the blind services.
Yeah.
I called them my big kids, and it was awesome. It was so, nobody realizes how many blind folks are out there.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess I didn't either until I started going out. And, yeah, a lot. They kept us busy, I'm telling you that.
Well, this is kind of a serious question. Did you ever run across someone that you were supposed to work with that just did not want to accept blindness?
There are a lot of blind folks out there that don't accept blindness. A lot of my clients were legally blind. I think most blind people, they call blind people, are legally blind. Mm-hmm. I'd say at least 90%. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. That's just my calculations. And, you know, the hardest thing I've seen while I was working for the state is laying down that license, getting out of the vehicle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they would tell me with macular degeneration, you know, I drove to what?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's like, no. No.
Yeah.
It was scary, you know.
Yeah. And I did drive for 7 years, but when I got married, you know, we moved to St. Louis, and I was glad I wasn't driving anymore went from little town to St. Louis. But for me, the hardest was accepting that cane.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you know, it tells the world that mm-hmm. you are blind. Mm-hmm. And people look at you different,
mm-hmm.
but... You know, we went on a trip to Florida here about a month ago, mm-hmm. and did you know that, I don't know who's working with them, but it was so nice there with, I guess, blind folks are really working with the sight, because it was great. I'm still in shock that it was like that, you know?
Wow. Well.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Well, now I'm proud to have that cane.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes,
yep.
Me
yep.
Too.
Yeah.
I don't go out. I get my purse and I pick up my cane.
Yeah. Yeah. And you feel naked without it. Well, not quite naked, but you feel like you're missing something.
Enough, right?
Yeah. All right, Chip, you better cut me off.
Well, Mary, I know as you're talking there about your time there with RSB, how was it, you know, being a blind, visually impaired parent raising your children? What kind of challenges did you face and were able to overcome? And how did your kids adopt to your vision loss, or were they pretty well acceptance of your vision loss, or how did all that work for you?
Yes, they pretty well accepted. They tried me, but you know, my hearing was very well. You know, sometimes you don't have to have eyes to see. Mm-hmm. You got plenty of seeing with them ears.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got by with very, very little. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell all three tell you that. so.
Yeah.
And my husband, Bob, he was so great. When I lost my vision, I got up one morning and it was gone. It just all left at once. And he took me in his arms and he said, no matter what happens, I would still love you.
Oh, and that's sweet. Oh, that is
so
sweet.
That was wonderful.
Yes. Yes, yeah.
So he was very helpful. He didn't like to wash dishes, though.
Right.
So when he was laid off for a couple of weeks before he found another job, we got a dishwasher, though.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful guy. He passed away in 1995. At that time, I'd already started college a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, with my daughter, she graduated in 93, and I had started, you know, I wasn't real serious, you know, it's just something to do. Mm-hmm. And then after he passed away, you know, I thought, I need this. Mm-hmm. It was hard.
Yeah.
But they helped me. Each one of my girls, at one time or another, helped me.
Yeah.
And they, I thank them so much. I don't know that I could have made it without them.
Oh, yeah. Well, Mary, I want to go back just a little bit. And I'm not trying to date you or anything, but as you were talking there, when you moved to Missouri and even your time there in Kentucky, you know, we've come a long ways in regard to technology for the blind. And back there then, back in the 70s, there wasn't the kind of technology way back there then, like what we have today. What was it like for you as a blind parent, maybe not having a lot of the different technology like what we have today? So how are you able then to manage, you know, things with your family, your job and everything like that? What types of technology did you guys have way back there then?
Watch it, Chip. I'm just kidding. when I started the college, you know, when I was in high school, we had typewriters.
Yeah.
Then RSB, I don't know who turned my name in, but RSB asked if they could come. And then the mobility instructor came and he taught me how to use the cane. And he talked me into going for training so I could go to college. And so I went to Arkansas and I took a class. College class there in University of Arkansas, and that started it all. And you know, it was a computer, but it's different from the way they are today. That's for sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Keyboard, and you know, and it was a big computer then.
Yeah, you're right. I remember back in the 70s, the mid 70s, I was going to college as well about that time. I don't know when you were going to college, Bev, but I tell you, I have to tip my hat off to those of us that were blind, visually impaired back in the 70s and 80s before the computers became available, you know, to us, and with the software and all that kind of stuff that we have today, iPhones, all the different types of technology. I mean, we got by, but boy, I tell you, things were a whole lot different way back there then, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the professors in the college, I went to Three Rivers here in Poplar Bluff and received my associates. And, I mean, they were all so helpful.
Yeah.
I took another class in the computer class. And by the way, I started a little in 93, but in 95, towards the end, that's when I went to college full force. I got my associates in here in Poplar Bluff, and then I went to SEMO over in Cape and got my bachelor's degree in psychology. I graduated in 98. And I started with the state at the beginning of 2000.
Okay. Yeah. Boy, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
But, you know, the help is so great. Sometimes you have to ask for it, but most of the time, the advisors.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The advisors really that's right. were great. I don't know if they are now, but they were back then.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I
tell you, right now, SEMO has a wonderful advisor. I've been talking to her the last couple of months, and she is just such a lovely lady. We were hoping to do a presentation there, and she was so open when I was working for a company called Vancro, and she was open to allow us to come in and do a presentation before the staff there for individuals who were deaf blind. And we had never encountered such a willingness and a welcoming from anybody from a university like Southeast Missouri State. Yeah. So it was really great.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's what they all should be. They all should be like that. So
I agree.
So Mary, tell us, talk to us about how did you get involved with MCB?
Well, we moved to Poplar Bluff in 92, and Bob and I were in the grocery store getting groceries, and Paul and Alta Ketcherside introduced themselves to us and followed us all over the store and wouldn't leave us alone until we told them that we would try it, because I had told them about the bad experience with National Federation. I just wasn't into that anymore. And that's what happened, and that's why I'm in Missouri Council of the Blind, or American Council.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, have you ever held an office or position within the affiliate there?
With CMO United Blind Club, yes. I was president of the blind club until I left for Kansas City in 2000. And we did a lot of stuff. I know we played beaver ball one year with the police and firemen. And they played together, and then the firemen won, and so then us blind folks beat the firemen. They might have led us to that, but we did. It was so much fun.
Good for you.
Well, I know, Mary, you're probably pretty well acclimated to the programs and services that MCB provides. Is there anything that really stands out in your mind that you thoroughly enjoy? Share with us any one or two, three maybe, services or programs. I know a lot of people always love summer camp. They love our adaptive technology matching grant program, different things of that nature. Is there any one or two services that stand out in your mind that you really thoroughly enjoy?
Well, not necessarily now, but when I was working, the adaptive technology was great, and I was helped a lot. So, yes. And I went to summer camp once, but it didn't work out so well, so I went again.
But try it again.
Katie wasn't running it either.
That's it. So you got to come back. Give it another chance. We would have fun, Mary.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to turn it over to Beth because I know she's got more questions for you.
Oh, okay. All right. What was your last thought there, Mary? Did you have another area?
No, I was just trying to think if there was anything else. No, but I'm old and sometimes my mind just says, leave me alone.
Oh, no. You're talking about your grandkids, the ages. They're getting older. Oh. We don't.
Oh,
right.
Oh, okay. I'll tell them that.
Yeah.
I tell them when they turn 30, I said, you're old. I know. And just turn it. And you're not supposed to do that. <I'm surprised. laughs>
Oh. Yes,
all
yes.
All over the country, all over the United States now, and with wonderful jobs. And I'm just so proud of them. And then my little 8-year-old, my middle daughter is in Kansas City, and he's going to Pioneer School, I believe it is, in Kansas City, and doing great. He has a little bit of autism. He's on the autistic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really see it, but I'm not around him all the time. I know his mother, he's a little stinker for sure, but he's very smart. You know, an 8-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I've got a grandson who's 9, so I know what you mean.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Wow. Do you ever travel to go see them by yourself? Do you fly or use the train system or buses?
I used to, but I had a breakdown in, I don't remember, it's like 7 years ago or so, and I don't anymore, and I have a bad back that, you know, they're afraid for me to get out, but,
okay,
you know, yeah, so, but I do go. I use it all the time. I just get in the plane and fly out wherever, but, you know, I don't do that without somebody with me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I have used Amtrak. Thank heavens my daughter's on Amtrak's schedule. She's in Kansas City. So I have not gone back on the train since COVID, but I think it's time. She doesn't want me to. She's just scared.
Yeah.
But yet, I want to get out there and go see them. So I'll tell her it's either that or I stand on the highway and see what I can get.
I hear you.
Yeah. Well, there's a will, there's a way, isn't there?
That's right. That's right. And now my second grandson is in the service, and he's a Apache helicopter driver or flyer. And yeah, he's been in since he was 17. He's 31 now. So,
wow.
You know, he's making a career of it. And oh my gosh, he just loves it.
Yeah.
I just love him to pieces. I love all my grandkids to pieces, but you know, he's just great.
I'm sure he's very proud of his grandma too.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Yeah.
I don't know. They all call me old lady.
They do.
And my 32-year-old granddaughter, she calls me old lady, and I call, yeah, okay, old lady. She's my oldest granddaughter, so. You know how that goes.
Yep. Well, I've started calling my son-in-laws, when there's only one around, I say, oh, you're my favorite son-in-law. You know, they just about caught me when all three of them were here at Christmas. And I start, oh, you're my favorite youngest middle grandson or son-in-law.
Yeah. You know, my two oldest grandkids, Cecilia and Dalton, they are like 15 days apart or something. And they all said, I'm Memo's favorite.
Oh.
And they'll ask me, you're both, all of my grandkids are my favorite. No, you know I'm your favorite. Because you know, I took care of them when they were babies so the girls could go to college.
Oh.
I loved it. So.
Yep. Well, that takes me to the transportation issue. When you were going to school and having to get, I don't know how you did it, Mary, really, losing your husband and having to figure out how to keep the family, the household going and going back to school. Oh, my gosh. My hat goes off to you for all that. It's
Thank
not
you.
Easy, but how was transportation even to get things done?
Well,
I
lived in Poplar Bluff, and, you know, I went to SEMO. Well, here in Poplar Bluff, we had the city bus that took us to the school and come back and picked us up. So that was great.
Okay.
And but to go from Poplar Bluff to Cape Girardeau, you know, that was really hard. The first year I went to college in Cape Girardeau, my oldest daughter was still in college. So I went with her the first year.
Oh.
And then that got a year under my belt. And then one of my daughters took me one semester and the other one took me the next semester and so on until I graduated. So, you know,
good for them.
Yes, they're so special. They just don't know it.
Yeah. I tell you what, I was in the car with my middle daughter. When she hadn't had her license too long, but she was going to take me. I was doing therapeutic horsemanship. She was going to take me to my horse riding lesson, and she started to pull out to cross four lanes of, and then she stopped. And then she'd start again, and then she'd stop. And I said, oh, my gosh, I got so scared. I go, honey, it's not worth it. We can turn around and go home. We got to have a lot of faith in them. I said, as long as I don't feel a bump, we're okay.
I'm telling you. I was trying to think. My oldest daughter, we had gone to Cape for something. That was after we graduated. And we were in one lane, and all at once, these boys went around us, and they were beeping, beeping, beeping. And, of course, you know what they did. And I said, Melinda, did something happen? She said, I don't know, Mom. Not that I know, but they acted like it did. I said, oh, well, but I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to know.
Yeah. But that's the only time. My girls really, they're good at driving, and I'm not scared to ride with any of them.
Yes.
My son-in-law, that's a different story sometimes.
Oh, wow. Yep, because you know they're going to be listening to this.
Yes, that's right. That's right, yeah.
Oh, no. I won't tell them about it. Just my daughters.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, and we want to talk about your hobbies.
My most favorite hobby is reading. I love reading. I get in and out. One of my favorites, I do read Christian fiction, but one of my favorite is The Mountain Men.
Hmm.
And I mean, I love it. And you know, they tell about where they're at and all the, you feel like that you've been there. And that's what I miss not seeing is nature.
Uh-huh.
And I just love it. I like Westerns also. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I like other stuff too. I you know, sometimes, but that's my favorite.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, and you find a good reader, and you feel like you're right there with them.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, and you know, Wilson Library has some really good readers anymore. And, I mean, they're great.
Yes. You know, but... Oh, okay. My favorite book that was audio had to be Where the Crawdads Sing. And the lady, I don't remember her name, who narrated, but she put that accent in, that little South Carolina, North Carolina little girl accent that added so much to the book. So that's great. That's great.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I like a lot of this science fiction stuff, too, as long as it don't get too far out there.
Oh, wow. Oh, Chip, I think Mary and I could talk forever, so I better let you take over.
Mary, this has been so wonderful having you on here for Meet the People of MCB. We could go on and on all afternoon. You're just such a delightful person to interview. I do have, you're quite welcome. I do have one last question, and that is, would you like to share some of your experiences that would offer encouragement, maybe to somebody that's newly blind or somebody that has been blind for quite some time, but has never really come to grips or been able to accept their blindness?
what words of encouragement could you offer to our listeners who just has found it such a challenge to be able to accept their blindness?
Well, you know, when I went totally blind, you know, I mean, I should have been ready for this, but it was supposed to happen 30 years later. But I didn't, when I picked up the cane, that was one of the hardest things.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's my lifeline now. I would not. But, you know, trying to think, if don't let people, any person, talk you out of dreams, because we all have dreams, and those dreams are what makes us different person from anybody else. And, you know, we're blind, that's meant to be, and we accept it. We can't change it, so we accept it. And, you know, I was like, I want to see, but then whatever. You know, so I've been blind for over 40 years, so, you know, it's okay, you know. Anyway, but here's what I would like to ask y'all before we get off of here. When does the daughters become the mothers?
I think my oldest daughter was born being a mother.
Oh, mine too. She's so, I tell her she's so bossy.
We'll have to talk later, Mary.
Okay. I got your number and you have mine. So. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we should all be ourselves. Don't be somebody else, because each of us is different. Each of us made different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you sell yourself short when you don't.
Yeah.
You know? Don't be quiet. You know, if you have a question in school, ask it. There's no question that's a wrong question. And every question has an answer. So, I wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah. Well, Mary, again, thank you for being our special guest here on Meet the People of MCB. And thank you so much for sharing those great words of encouragement. You know, I've gotten some of the biggest encouragement by being a member of this organization, the Missouri Council of the Blind, meeting so many wonderful people, making so many great friends, and the ways that they have encouraged me. And just knowing that we as a blind community, individuals that have been able to get out and accomplish so much. I like it when we encourage one another. We don't hear the word like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, no, you can't do that, you know, because of your visual impairment. We don't hear words like that. We hear words like, go for it. Go for it. Yeah. You know, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. And I appreciate that so much. And I know you have experienced that same encouragement from others as well.
Yes. You know, Kenny Emmons, and I'm sure y'all know him.
Yes.
Him.
Oh, yes.
Probably the best mentor I ever had. And when he passed away, that was really, really sad.
Yes.
Yes.
So he was probably the best president MCB ever had.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
I'm really glad that Skip Haley is our president. When I was told that he started being president, but don't get the big head, Chip.
you're making me blush, Mary. You're making me blush. you're talking about Kenny Emmons. I remember I was at my computer. It was real early in the morning. I got the email that was sent out by Edna Freeman that told about the passing of Kenny Emmons. And my heart just sunk. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh yeah, it was just a, oh wow. It was a hard day for me that day, you know, thinking about Kenny and he had just been, him and Edna both have been just so greatly missed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And aren't we blessed to have Kenny's daughter, Brandy, with MCB.
Oh, you bet.
Oh,
yeah.
Is she still with MCB?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I remember her. Mm-hmm. She was a little girl.
Yeah.
We've got good memories.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah.
Well, again, Mary, thank you so much again for being our guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. We really so much appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Mary.
All right. I thank y'all too.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Bev and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them contact me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself right back here next time on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your week, everybody. God bless for now.